Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
This series we're calling kaleo, which is the Greek word which means called. And talking about the calling that God's placed on all of our lives. And as sons and as Christians, God calls us sons. He calls us daughters. He calls us His kids. He calls us men and women who are loved by Him, who are filled with His Spirit. And as we begin to unpack some of what that looks like and sounds like, part of that is we're called to be people who care. And when we started to just scratch the surface a couple of weeks ago, as we look at, okay, how do we care for one another? How do we really come alongside one another? Then a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that calling to be generous people. With our time, with our energy, with our finances, with all aspects of who we are, and blessing others. This morning we're going to take a look at calling as it relates to being servants, to serve one another. And I believe God's called us to serve wholeheartedly. There was a book published a number of years ago called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, by Jim Cimbala, pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. And in that book, he writes this. He says, "I despaired at the thought that my life might pass me by without God moving greatly on my behalf." And he was in that place where he didn't want to miss what God had. He didn't want to miss the things that God wanted to do in his life. And part of what he came to realize that God was doing things not in the big stuff. God certainly works in the big stuff, but that's not the only place. God works in those 10,000 little places, those everyday things, the stuff that is easily overlooked. And so I want to think about that this morning and unpack that a little bit as we think about calling, as we think about vision on our lives, because I believe God has planted within each and every one of us His heart. As I said, He's called us His sons. He's called us His daughters. And as He calls us by name, He also says, "I have some things for you." And if we grab hold of that, if we understand how much God loves us, and we understand how much God cares for us, and we understand how much God fills us with His Spirit, there's no stopping that person from being the person that God wants us to be. There's no stopping that person from embracing wholeheartedly the life that God has for us, the life that God's called us to live. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to take a look at a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. It's probably one of the most familiar Bible stories in the Old Testament. It's a story of David and Goliath. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and chapter 17. David, of course, is probably most famous for killing Goliath, and we love that part. The little guy beats the big guy. But what a lot of us don't think about is the space between when God called David and he has that confrontation with Goliath. We don't think about what's going on in that time. What's happening between the time when God calls David and announces he's going to be the next king of Israel and David's victory over Goliath in front of the whole nation? We don't think about that process that brings David from a humble shepherd boy to a great king over a nation. A process really of serving. A process of working out his calling in the everyday stuff of life. The interesting thing about David, God was selecting a new leader, and they didn't have elections. God chose. You know, when God's people said, "No, we want elections," they messed things up really big, and they selected Saul, who was a disaster as a king. But God says, "Let me choose." And God chooses David. In fact, Samuel comes to David's house and lines up all the brothers to see who was going to be the future king of Israel. And David wasn't even there. He was out in the field somewhere. And he selects David. And God places his call on him. But nobody yet had known that this was the next step. That's an interesting thing about a lot of us. You know, sometimes we feel overlooked by others in our lives. But God has picked you out. God has chosen you from before the foundations of the earth. He's had His eye on you since you were very young. He's had His eye on you from that time when you were in public school. From that time when you were starting to awkwardly grow out some armpit hairs. Those times when you were being turned down by every girl in high school when you asked them out. God was shaping you. God was forming you. And He was creating experiences and relationships and connections in your life. He was even allowing the dysfunction in your family to bring you to a place where He could use you and pour out His Spirit in you for His glory. Now, as I said, David wasn't even around the day that Samuel came looking for him, but God had His eye on David. And he would later anoint him in front of all his brothers, signifying he'd be the future king. He signaled out by the prophet, by the man of God, that David would be the next king. So what's David do? Does he go stand in front of the mirror and practice his kingly wave? Does he go to Tiffany's and get fitted for a crown? Does he go to Neiman Marcus or wherever to get Armani robes fitted for him? No. The Bible says that David went back and forth to tend sheep for his father. He went back to the everyday stuff that he was doing. He went back to play music for King Saul. And I want to read a few verses. So this is 1 Samuel 17, verse 13. And it says, Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. Firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Do you ever feel like that? You're just going back and forth. Other people have gone on to bigger and better and more dramatic and more influential things, and you're just going back and forth doing the everyday stuff, the ordinary stuff, tending sheep. You're not on the front lines of the battle. You're just doing the menial stuff. Do you feel like that way in your job or being a mom of young kids? Seems like everybody else is on the front line where the action is, and I'm just going back and forth, and I seem so insignificant. You know, some of you are stay-at-home moms, and you're going back and forth, you know, changing diapers so you can change another diaper an hour or two later, and another one an hour after that. You know, my daughter Nadine and her husband Matthew have been potty training Ursula. I mean, the first time she pooped in the potty, it was a great celebration. You know, none of the rest of us get that anymore, do we? But the interesting thing, but those who feel that what you're doing is not significant, that the activity that you're in right now is inconsequential, but there is nothing that's insignificant when it's done for the significance of the cause of Christ. There is nothing that is insignificant when it's done for the significance of the cause of Jesus Christ. And my encouragement to you today is that God has placed a calling on your life. And He has from the very foundations of the earth. He's shaping you. He knows you. He's formed you. He's anointed you. He's called you. He's placed His mantle on you. He loves you. And God's called you to do what He wants you to do. And you may be in that space between when God's called you and when you'll step into a particular aspect of ministry. And for some of you, God's placed promises on your heart. And He's showing you a dream for your life. And but right now, it feels like you're just going back and forth. You're just tending sheep. Smelling like dung. Potty training a three-year-old. But take courage. Because even in the most what we call insignificant events, God is significantly working. It's in our ability to serve in the small ways with wholehearted intensity for the cause of Christ that He shapes us and uses us. And if you feel like you're in a place in your life with God right now where you know God's got some things for you and He's placed this dream in you and you're created for influence and impact, but right now it feels like you're just going back and forth. You're doing menial things. You're in a job that you don't like. You're teaching high schoolers who are driving you out of your mind. but you know that God has called you. How many of you have taken one of those spiritual gift assessment things? A whole bunch of you have. You know, I used to be a big believer that those things were helpful. Then I got a little bit more mature, and those things are mostly a waste of time. Because what they do is they say, okay, this is what I'm gifted in based on my past experiences. This is what I'm gifted in based on my personality type. But remember, these things are spiritual gifts. So they're things that the God Spirit works in us. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, I don't do that because that's not my spiritual gift. So I asked, have you ever prayed for the sick? No. Well, how do you know it's not your gift? You know, if it, we don't exercise that. We don't listen to God. We don't walk with Him. And sometimes we think spiritual gifts are this package deal, and that's what we have for the rest of our life. No, God gives gifts for particular areas of ministry, particular times of ministry, and some of them come and go because God gives it for that particular context, for that particular space. Stay faithful in the small things, in the everyday things. As Jesus said in Matthew 20:25, that if you're faithful in the little, God will make you faithful over much. And so here's David. He's this little shepherd boy. He's going back and forth, anointed to be the future king of Israel. But in the meantime, he's looking after a bunch of smelly sheep. You know, he didn't go to Staples and get his business cards printed up saying, future king-elect. No, he was just looking after the sheep. And one day, the Bible says, David's opportunity came. But I want you to see how it came about. So this is 1 Samuel 17 and verse 17. And so Jesse says to his son David, take this ephah, which is about a bushel of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. Let me know how they're doing. There was Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. And verse 20 says, early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, so a co-shepherd, and he looked up and he set out as Jesse had directed. And he reached the camp as the army was going out to their battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up the battle lines, facing each other. And so David left his things with the keeper of supplies. He ran to the battle lines. He greeted his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines, shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Here's what fascinates me about that passage, about this aspect of the story. The only reason that David was in earshot to hear the curses and the defiance that Goliath was shouting at Israel, the only reason he was anywhere close to a position where he could do what God wanted to do, because he was serving. Because he was doing what his father asked him to do. Bring some cheese, bring some bread, bring some grain to them. You know, King David got his start by delivering cheese and bread. You know, basically he was a glorified pizza delivery boy. Did you know that? That's what David was. He was bringing bread and cheese. He gets up early in the morning and he runs the battle lines, doing the thing that God has given him to do. Doing the thing that God has given him to do. What would OCC look like if every single person who calls this place home started running to the battle lines, doing the most insignificant thing for the most significant purpose with a wholehearted intensity, with a full devotion to God? What would we look like? How would that shape us and change us? If we looked around us, not just when we're in this building, but all the time, with our eyes and ears wide open, listening to both what God is saying, asking us to do, and what we're hearing the needs are of people around us. What would it be like if right at the end of the service, rather than rushing to connect with friends that you connect with all the time, you had your eyes and ears open, and you went across to somebody that you don't know very well or you've never met, and connected with them and introduced yourself to them. See, if you're a greeter at the front door, you're not just a greeter. You're someone who connects people to the power and the presence of Jesus. Because every single Sunday morning, somebody walks through those front doors and they're hurting. Every single Sunday morning. And by simply serving and greeting, smiling at them, welcoming them, introducing yourself to them, you're making them feel they're actually glad that they decided to come to OCC today. And you're a connector to the presence and to the power of the gospel. And by being at the door, and by or being at the sign-in and desk, by being at the cafe, by being one of the ushers, they have been greeted by several people. Begin to feel welcome. And some of you need to jump into those types of ministries. You know, you think, okay, it's so insignificant to hand out bulletins at the door. It's insignificant to serve as a greeter or to serve a cup of coffee or to check families in at OCC. It'd be insignificant to care for babies in the nursery. No, it's not. It's very significant. Because you're connecting people to the power and the presence of God. A couple of weeks ago, young man came in and told me the usual story about how he used to come here for his first place. He saw movies and things like that. And so I showed him around a little bit, and he saw this. He saw the band set up at the front. He says, "Do you need a worship leader?" I don't even know if this guy's a Christian yet. He's never been here on a Sunday, and he wants to jump into worship leading. You know, that says something about our heart. Because we want to be in the place where we get attention. Where God calls us to serve. And it's out of those places of service that people begin to recognize, and we begin to build those relationships. Because ministry is always relational and always has those aspects of connection. You know, if God could use a shepherd boy's simple obedience to bring cheese and bread to his brothers on the battle line, couldn't God use you serving in the nursery to lay a foundation in that child's life? And so their earliest thoughts would be in their conscious memory. I was loved. When I went to OCC, it was a good place to be. Couldn't God use that in a powerful way? You know, God can use us behind the scenes, often much better than he can up front people. God's called us to serve. And sometimes he calls us into some big areas, but he calls us to serve often in the insignificant areas. And it starts when we start to do what God's given us to do right now. Through those simple acts of obedience, through those simplest acts of service. When you serve in those ways that maybe really doesn't seem like it matters a lot, but it does matter a lot. Serving in the nursery matters a big deal to the mom who changes diapers all day to know that for an hour, hour and a half, somebody is loving on their kids. For those of you who are high school teachers or public school teachers, and you're serving God in that capacity, and a bunch of heathen high schoolers show up, and they at times you feel like they need to be caged up, and they smell like old cottage cheese, and you're wondering, how in God's name am I going to get through to them? So I have to spend most of my time disciplining them. But you never know the impact that that's going to make down the road. One of those kids might turn into because they knew that you cared for them, knew that you looked after them, knew that you built into their lives. I despaired at the thought my life might pass me by without God moving greatly on my behalf. But when we step into service, whatever those areas of service and ministry are, God doesn't pass us by. And what if we grasp that? What if every single person here this morning, you weren't just serving as a greeter or as an OCC kids sign in or an OCC kids worker or serving cafe, but saw that you were a staff member of the kingdom of God? I had a friend, Steve. Steve and I went to high school together. He lived just down the street from myself. Steve was one of the most brilliant people I've ever known. Steve graduated with a PhD in nuclear physics. He did stuff that I can't even begin to comprehend. He went on to work for IBM, and he didn't just do computer programming. He wrote the computer programs. He wrote C and C++ compilers and had a ton of patents from the work that he had done. But Steve saw himself as a key person in the kingdom of God. IBM just happened to pay his salary. He said, I'm a worker in the kingdom. IBM pays my salary. My friend Steve died far too young, about 18 years ago. But to the end, his focus was, how do I proclaim the gospel? How do I proclaim what God is doing in this place? How do I help people become free from the bondages? How do I connect them to the love and grace of God? See, I don't believe in full-time ministry. That's a weird thing for a pastor to say, isn't it? I don't believe in full-time ministry because I don't believe in part-time ministry. Because I believe every single one who's a son, who's a daughter of the living God, is involved in ministry. For me, OCC pays my salary. For others, whoever you work for, they pay your salary. But you're employed for the kingdom of God. Because we don't believe in part-time forgiveness. We don't believe that God's a part-time healer. We don't believe God's a part-time savior. We don't believe the gospel is a part-time endeavor. We serve, we work, wherever we are. And God shapes and moves that. If you work at the bank, you operate with integrity in all you do. As you parent your kids, it's your ministry that matters. And we could go on. We could list every single task or job that's represented here. David was in a position where he's going to be thrust into the national spotlight simply because he served God faithfully, to his full ability, right where he was. He stood before Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. And I love what he says. He says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear." You know, back when I was just looking after sheep, God rescued me. He's going to rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Those things that happened in my past, God's going to take them and use them for the current. It's a Karate Kid moment. You remember the movie The Karate Kid? Wax on, wax off. Daniel's son was so frustrated. He goes to Mr. Miyagi because he wants to learn how to fight. And he simply tells him, paint the fence. And he did that for a while. And he comes back and he says, sand the floor. And he does that for a while. And he says, now you can wash the car. Wax on, wax off. And finally, he comes back and he throws his hands up. He says, I didn't come here to paint your fence. I didn't come here to sand the floor. I didn't come here to wash the car. I came to learn how to fight. Let's watch this clip. Yeah, go to the video after and let's hope pray the sound works. Nope, we've gone too far. Okay, I'm not sure why our sound was all working right before the service, but it's crashed. And anyways, no sound, Glenn? how many have seen the scene? And then, A whole bunch of you. Good. So you get the picture. So he gets them to paint the fence, and he begins to block the painting, and then sand the floor. Again, starts to block, wax the car, and starts to block, and the fight begins to happen. The whole time he thought he was painting a fence, he was learning how to fight. The whole time you're serving, whether it's looking after the sheep or whatever it is that you do, God's preparing you for the battle. For David, he was learning how to fight Goliath. For you, it's learning how to serve in whatever those areas are that he has for you. The whole time when you were just, caring for your children, putting up with those junior high kids, God was using you to invest in their lives so one day they could serve with a passion. You thought you were just handing out bulletins or passing the offering plates, but God's using you as a connector to the power and the presence of Jesus. God prepares us and uses us. And it's not just about preparing, it's about using us right in the midst of that, even when it seems insignificant. Painting the fence, sanding the floor, waxing the car, running cheese and bread to the front line, tending the sheep, because God is preparing you. God is using you in the midst of those things. And He's called you, and He's anointed you. And the half has not yet been told of what God will do through your life when you serve Him to the full ability of your calling. God will do amazing things, and will impact more people than you could ever imagine as we're faithful in stepping into service and stepping into ministry right where we are. So let's pray together. Heather, why don't you reboot the computer from... Let's try it again so that that video during the offering will play. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for each one here. You know each one. You know their heart. Father, thank you that you've called us to be people who serve. You've called us to be people who care. You've called us to be generous people. You've called us to be people who serve. And then that service isn't always in big fancy ways, but in the everyday, in the ordinary, in serving hot chocolate. And so, Lord, I pray as we go out onto the streets and just bless our city, bless our neighborhood, we could serve in that way. Father, I pray for each one here that you'd have our eyes and ears open this week to two things. You'd have our eyes and ears open to what you were saying. And we'd have our eyes and ears open to folks around us, to know how and when and in what ways you want to serve. Not because we're running around with our heads cut off, but because we're being faithful in the everyday, in the ordinary. Because we're serving for the glory of your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.